When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Howdy, y'all. This is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. He says what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen up. Pod and Lansdowne.
Like we haven't even left, Jake. Pod on Lansdowne is back once again. Happy Friday, everyone, as you're listening to this. But you're hearing from us because we have some major breaking news in the world of the Boston Red Sox. I mean, you talk about something that completely turns the tide of not only this season, not only next season, but potentially seasons to come. Some major developments coming from Jersey Street that we just had to hop on and do an emergency podcast for. Liam is actually at the game tonight, Thursday night, as you're listening to this. We could not be joined by Liam, but we're joined by the lovely Sophie, Jake's lovely girlfriend here, to kind of fill in as a third. But let's cut right to the chase here. Some major news for the Boston Red Sox. They have placed right-handed pitcher Kenley Jansen on the COVID-19-related injury list. I mean, God,
Jake. Lord, carry him now.
COVID's still out there, guys.
It is. Yeah, I guess.
It really is.
Yeah,
so
shot,
take
new booster.
Who exactly. just had it? Who had it a couple weeks ago? Bernardino?
I believe
he
so.
Had it too.
Yeah. So something's happening in that Red Sox bullpen.
Yeah,
they are coughing on door handles.
They're kissing.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Smooch. Hopefully they have what's the Gardasil is the kissing one, right? That's the vaccine for that. Isn't that what it is?
For kissing? It's a vaccine for kissing?
Yeah, I think it prevents against HPV.
I think that's just like having a podcast.
Well, yeah. Like, oh goodness! Wow, and you invited her on. Wow, that's actually a pretty good burn there. Yeah, right. I was gonna say, well, Jake has the authority for that. I could just meet both of you. It could just be me. But seriously though, Chaim Bloom, out of here. Arrested, 25 to life for grand theft auto and assault with the intent to murder.
He took the cow.
He took the cow. Folks, he took the cow. No. Chaim Bloom has been dismissed, relieved of his duties, fired by the Boston Red Sox, no longer the head honcho of the front office, no longer, what was it, the president of baseball operations was his official title, right? So,
yeah.
He's no longer here anymore. Jake, I'll give it right to you. I'll give it to you straight. And Sophie as well. How are we feeling?
Well, Fitz, as a wise man once said, there's actually zero difference between good and bad things.
You fucking morons.
So that's probably where the truth lies, I would say, somewhere in there. But, oh, gosh, I don't know, man. Initial thoughts, I was genuinely, you know what? It's like I was surprised, but I wasn't. I thought I would be more surprised, if that makes sense.
I was like pretty surprised.
When the news hit, I was like, oh, yeah. All right.
Because did we not... Jesus, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but, like, earlier this week, didn't we say, or was it maybe the week prior, we said, like, Haim gets, like, one more year here, and then he might be shown the door, right?
I thought he would.
I could have definitely 100% foreseen a world where Haim Bloom, in 12 months from now, was no longer the head of the front office, no longer the president of baseball ops for the Red Sox. I could not have seen it being 2 weeks from when we had said that, you know what I mean? And then we sit here and he's gone. So in that regard, yeah, I am surprised. I genuinely am surprised. I did not think it was going to happen before season's end. I thought he was going to have one more year. But no, I've been wrong about a lot of things in my life, and I'll be wrong about a whole lot of other things going forward. So just add this to the list.
I've never been wrong, so this is interesting for me.
Sophie, how does it feel to be with someone who's, you know, just now wrong for the first time?
Thank you for asking. I have prepared a statement.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Wow.
Not about that, but I was waiting for my in.
Oh, so this is our Jewish correspondent, Sophie.
Well, you're Jewish as well, Jake, right?
Well, half.
No, he lies when it is most advantageous.
Yeah, I'm Jewish when it's convenient.
Mother side, though, right? Isn't that the big
it's
one?
It's in my blood.
That's going to spike, sorry.
Look at this, Fitz. Look at this.
Thank you, Mr. Mopena. In anticipation of this moment, I have prepared a statement.
Sorry for the spikes in the audio.
I am profoundly saddened, nay, sickened, by the events that unfolded today, Thursday, September 14th, 2023. A day that will live in infamy as one of the darkest ever for Red Sox Nation and for the American Jewish community. I don't say this lightly, but I know that it is my duty to shine a light on injustice when I see it. And frankly,
Jesus Christ,
the world has not seen an anti-Semitic, bigoted hate crime of this magnitude since a certain 5'9 mustache man.
Oh no.
It is now 7:30 p.m., and I have had a couple hours to contemplate and reflect on this tragedy.
Still went with the Addy reference.
And friends, some striking parallels have emerged. The 2023 Boston Red Stockings are in absolute hell. We know this. But do you know who else was in hell? The German Republic in 1932. Where they lost World War I, we lost Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and of course, Kike Hernandez. And folks, if you take away the accent in Kike, well, anyway, constituencies of both societies were angry. They felt they deserved to be amongst the most powerful and successful of their peers. Scrambling, those in power realized that if they were to win the people's favor, they would need to shift the blame. Simply put, they needed a scapegoat.
Quick question. Can I interject real quick? No. Where does the beer hall push fit into all of this? What analogy is that a part of? Have we thought that deep into it?
That would be the 2021 ALCS.
Okay, continue.
And, well, both the Red...
You don't need to be that close to the microphone. It's a good microphone.
Why are you interrupting my speech?
Yeah, you didn't have to.
And, well, both the Boston Red Sox organization and the Federal Republic of Germany in 1930 settled on the same answer. The Jews.
Jesus Christ.
Today, my heart hurts. I find the actions of this organization to be reprehensible, utterly shameless, and in complete disregard of the team's overall well-being.
She pushes her back from the mic.
Haim Bloom is a patriot. He is a scholar. He took a nothing farm and transformed it into one of the greatest in Red Sox history. Yet still, because of his Jewish heritage,
that one in 16 was pretty special, Jake, the 2016 farm.
Yet still, because of his Jewish heritage, allegedly, he was unceremoniously let go. Why? Because John Henry will do anything in his power to drive the Red Sox further into the ground. And also because he doesn't like Jews.
Dave Chappelle wrap it up button. All
right. There is no defending this action. And with Theo out of the running, there is not a single remotely logical justification for today's events. The Boston Red Sox should be ashamed. Thank you. I will now take questions.
So, Jake, the point is, I feel like I've always been a Haim centrist, because,
I was kind of part of the Bluminati, but I understand. Listen, I would say this trade deadline a little bit kind
is
of...
Is there an earthquake going on at your...
This trade deadline had a...
You know who else hit the table many times when I'm making an emphatic point that Sophie would bring up in her letter, I'm sure?
Adol.
Well, didn't have to say it, but there you go.
Some of your listeners probably
you
aren't.
You do not have to speak directly into the microphone.
I need my voice to be heard. Are you trying to silence me as a woman?
Yeah, Fitz. All right, let's break it down. I think, the good rebuilt the farm. There's no denying that. And I'd say it about. Ends there, frankly.
So here's the thing. Some of the shots he took, the low-stakes one, did end up panning out. Some of them didn't, but that's the nature of the deals that they were. They were low-risk, with potentially pretty solid reward. And of course, rebuilt the farm system. There was a point made on the Over the Monster emergency episode with Dan and Brian that's just a virtue of him sitting on basically all of his prospects. I disagree to an extent. Him in the front office made some pretty good draft picks over the last couple of years. Marcel Meyer, like, even out of the picture, like, they were able to still develop the farm system in solid ways outside of that. Here's my general sort of takeaway from all of this. On one hand, I think it's a little unfair to him to be like, okay, like, well, you traded away Mookie Betts, you came in to do that, gave him a couple years to rebuild that farm system and kind of build it from there. And then for him to not be able to see, the fruits of those labors, that kind of bites for Haim Bloom. I feel for him in that regard. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think there have been multiple instances now where the team has been on the precipice of making a late season run. And that huge blockbuster sort of deal that could really push them over the top did not come to fruition. You could argue Kyle Schwarber in 21. Sure, fine. But even then, he only got him at a discount because he was on the injured list, right? Bloom has not shown in his tenure, or had not shown because it's over, the 10 years over, had not shown that he was ready to go all in on the team. You could argue that that's the right idea, that that's the wrong idea, one way or the other. But that is true. He has not pushed his chips in. To the extent of how good of an idea that is or how bad of an idea that is, that's up for you to decide.
Well, yeah, I mean, is that really, can that be considered any sort of knock on Haim when none of the Red Sox teams during his tenure deserved to be went all in on?
That 21 team, I mean, came 2 wins away from the World Series, and even this team was like a game or two outside of the wild card. Well, accidentally,
the team wasn't that good.
They won a World Championships accidentally in 2013, you know?
So here's where I'm at. I think that they were looking down the pipeline of these next, say 7 months, whatever.
Sure.
6 months of, like, this is, we're ready to push the chips in. And they looked at Haim's
trade
history.
Yeah.
And they said, that's not good enough, basically. They were like, you're not that guy for what we need to do now. And... is it a little fucked up that they were like, okay, rebuild the farm, and then we're going to show you the door? Yeah, I mean, it's a cold world, but...
it's an evil world we live in, to quote Future.
Yeah, cold world, bundle up. But it's also like... He lost a good amount of trades. I mean, I'm not going to... I defended him often, but almost every trade he made, like, outside of the Vasquez trade...
The Vasquez one was a very good deal.
Yeah.
Well, let's run through them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm
no, we don't have time to run through all the trades.
No, the big ones.
Okay.
Mookie, bad.
An absolute loss,
but
however many times over.
It doesn't matter. guys not, get traded at the deadline.
Not going to relitigate this.
The Benintendi trade, fine, I guess. I mean, he still like won a gold glove and a silver slugger after he left.
At worst, I'd call that a wash, because even like Winkowski's a solid pitcher. And Benintendi, yeah, he had that good year with Kansas City, but hasn't really done a ton ever since going to New York. You know,
The Renfro trade, a complete fucking disaster.
Yeah.
What was that deal for again?
For JBJ and two prospects.
Yeah, that hurt.
Taking on all the JBJ money. That was an absolute disaster. Yeah. Quinellis and David Hamilton. And then, you know, and Fitz, a great quote. A wrong decision is often better than indecision. And I think that's pretty much the indictment on Heim. No?
A lot of indecision.
Yeah.
Because we keep talking about, oh, it's a great farm system, and it is.
It is.
But not all of these guys are going to be developed to be big league players on the Red Sox. That's just the fact of it. I hate
but
to say the obvious.
That's one thing. I think the other end of it is we've heard for like 2 years now about certain deals that didn't get done.
Yeah.
And this isn't even...
Interest kings, baby.
Yeah, this isn't, excuse me, like the smear campaign, because we've known about a lot of these for a while. Like there was we heard about the Paxton thing at the this most recent deadline. They said, no, that's not good enough. Last year, there was, I believe there was offers for JD on the table, and they weren't good enough. I mean, last deadline, I think, was when I began to kind of sour a little, at least a little bit, because I still think he bungled that to the point of like,
yeah, trying to half buy, half like sell. You know what I mean? It was a whole thing.
That was actually a great move. The Diekman for Reese was.
Yeah, I thought that was
okay.
Career,
but
legacy.
But
building.
I mean, you could
really cranked that one out.
You could have cashed out if you knew you weren't going to pay Xander. If you knew Nate was going to walk. JD, you clearly never had interest in retaining anyway. I mean, these people had value at the deadline.
But you also have to consider and I know that like his job is to ignore the fans for the most part, but imagine the absolute uproar if he had traded Mookie and then proceeded to get rid of JD, Nate, etc., all the folks you
listed. I even think at that point it was kind of
well, it's like, I mean, being a GM
there.
Is what have you done for me lately? You know, and it's like, would it have been bad the second half of last year and then maybe the first half of this year? Sure, but then those prospects would probably start to arrive and you would see, I mean, you're just boosting 3 months of vitriol. I mean, they all walked anyway. You know, it doesn't really matter.
And Heim has also made moves where he's kind of thrown the human element out of it, like for the sake of like brass tacks. Does this make sense for baseball? Because the Vasquez deal 100% made sense, and it worked. But that situation, the human aspect of the Vasquez thing, that pissed off a lot of guys in that clubhouse, I think. And Heim had shown, I don't know what you want to call it. I don't think it's a complete disregard of the human element of it, but I think he outweighed, you know, the stuff in between the lines more than that, I think. So to say that, you know, he would have, you know, paid a ton of mind to the emotional aspect of training a JD away or an Evaldi last year, I don't know if I totally buy that sort of point. I don't know if that makes any sense of what I'm saying, but you picking up what I'm putting down here a little bit?
I don't even know that it was him, though, because we know that John Henry is susceptible to bullying, and I think that
which I think this move might very well be. I think people are kind of getting in.
Well, that I completely agree. I do think that it is him listening to the overall, going on Twitter and seeing what people are saying and trying to make people happy, because it is not logical. But that is besides the point. In my opinion, I think that Heim was put in a nearly impossible position with an ownership that was full of so many contradicting opinions and mandates for him that made his job utterly impossible, both with the resistance towards big payouts, but also with what was clearly a very inconsistent strategy and ideology.
Well, that's Fenway Sports Group in general. Every 4 years. No, cool. I was thinking about this on the drive-in, Jake. They just give 4-year tenures to their general managers president of baseball ops past Theo. It's all been 4 years, right? Charrington 4, Deal and Dave 4, Heim 4.
Well, my thing today was Okay. So 2020, I think we all kind of throw that one out. That's whatever.
Yeah.
You know? 21, you do accidentally go to the ALCS, and then it's like, okay, you take stock there. And then the next 2 years, I mean, for the most part, have been disasters. Like, I didn't think they were going to win the World Series either the last 2 years, but if you're a little smarter with those short deals you hand out, like, I don't think another playoff push would have been ridiculous. I mean, I saw a tweet today. Fitz, listen to this. Yoshida, Kike Hernandez, Christian Arroyo, Trevor Story, Corey Kluber, Caleb Ort, Jolly Rodriguez, and Richard Bleier counted for $69 million against the Red Sox CBT this season. And Fitz, zero of them were worth one WAR.
That's not nice. The number was nice, but the zero WAR number, not nice.
Yeah, I mean, that money can be... I mean, he made Corey Kluber the opening day starter this year. Like, the dude was not...
Yeah, listen, if you're anti-Heim, that's your grand opening, grand closer right there.
To Heim's credit, he was, I think, pretty good at evaluating position players. Like, I don't have a ton of quality.
Undervalued positional guys. I mean, Turner has been a revelation for this offense, for an offense that has had its ups and downs.
I mean, you know, the Vaz trade, he clearly saw something in Abreu and Valdez. Both can hit. I mean, but it's like the pitching, I think that really is what ultimately probably lost him the job.
I mean, genuinely. From the get-go with pitching this year.
But last year was bad, too.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to build a starting rotation, but the Red Sox did not act poor with Heim Bloom as their CBO. They were more shrewd than they had been under Dombrowski.
Definitely more shrewd.
But I mean, what were they, 12th this year? Like, that's money to spend on.
Yeah, but as Passan pointed out,
probably unlucky as well with injuries.
More so last year than this year, but
no. I mean, well, they were this year too, but
a little bit. But even I mean, then, listen, that excuse only carries you so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like.
Well, I guess
their top three going into the season had a combined age of like 36 or 35. I mean, it was your top three.
So some of that's on the front office average. Then. Why are you going into with that as the rotation?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if your top three in the Lord's year of 2023 is Chris Kluber, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, and James Paxton, I don't know what you expect, frankly.
That's what I mean.
At the beginning of the season, and I will continue to defend Heim, but at the beginning of the season, we were excited about all three of those pitchers. I mean, Kluber.
I think we were excited about I think that's revisionist history.
That is not true.
One more quick point. Okay. One more quick point to what you brought up about the spending money, about being 11th in spending this year. Then we have to take a quick step aside for commercial break. Then we'll be right back into it. Passan pointed out the 4 years we won championships, Jake, in the top three of spending, and they're 11th this year. Like, I understand it's not chump change, it's not nothing, but...
Well, if I'll rebuttal to that real quick, I don't think Heim needed a championship in his tenure to save his job and get a second.
No, I don't think so either, but coming up on potentially three out of four last place finishes and one...
it's hard to spin, you know, three last place...
Like, Linsanity run, yeah.
Yeah,
But a last place finish in the AL East. A last place finish in the AL East is...
That's the division you're in. They've been in it for 25 years. I don't know.
Sophie, you know who hangs their hat on that? St. Wall is the AL East? The team that finishes last in the AL East. That's the team that will hang their hat on that. The other four are going to say, yeah, I still finished last. Still last place. Yeah. You know? Let's take a quick step aside here for a quick ad, and then we'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're back. Pawn on Lansdowne. Jake, Fitz, Sophie. It was a quick one. Yeah, because
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Let's bring this back into John Henry, because John Henry, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have the quote in front of me.
Hates Jews.
I heard the same thing, actually. That's so crazy.
You hear him more and more, aren't you?
Allegedly.
He said, with this announcement, he said that this is a change of direction for the organization again every 4 years.
Wait, he spoke today?
He released a statement.
In a statement.
Okay. No, he was not at the press conference. No.
Whoa.
I tweeted this to kind of, you know, quickly change a quote from Omar from The Wire. Worrying about John Henry no-showing at a press conference is like wondering if the sun's going to come up. Of course he skipped town on this. Of course he left it to his... Of course he left it to Smithers, Sam Kennedy. Who is this? Oh, hi, I'm Bloom, sir. You're a president of baseball operations.
Bloom, hey. How remember that name, but...
You're quite good at turning me on.
My name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
But Henry released in the statement, he said this is a, again, paraphrasing, change of direction for the organization. Which, again, every 4 years, it's like the Olympics. It feels like this happens. The final testament of the Heim Bloom era. Again, this is coming from a Heim centrist. I'm not full-on Bluminati. I'm not full-on, Heim hater. I get both sides of it at times. The final testament of the Bloom era is going to be start to be set in stone this offseason, in the sense that, like, what prospects are going, what prospects are saying, what moves are being made, the moves that Heim Bloom would not be making. Because I can't imagine they're going to have a guy who has the same sort of, you know, transactional philosophy as Heim Bloom. I think they're going to try to make big splashes this offseason, trade deadline if they're in it, and going into the 25 season as well, if they are full on going to be changing their organizational philosophy. With that said, I believe Ed Hand tweeted this, don't get attached to any prospects in the system right now. There is a world where Anthony is traded. There is a world where, you know, one of the top pitching guys, Nick York, gets traded. There is a world where Marcelo gets traded. I don't think that happens, but...
A very bad world.
Yeah, I would not want that to happen, but I think you're going to see some big shakeups and big splashes coming into Boston this offseason, because I think the team, and more specifically Henry, is A, sick of, you know, standing idly, that maybe they want to spend some more money, which we've been begging them to do for a long time, thank God, and B, and again, not to keep bringing up the Over the Monster podcast that released on Thursday, yesterday as you're listening to this on Friday, I think John Henry has been embarrassed the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, it's frustrating, and it feels childish to have this team be at the whim of someone who is just so caught up in his public perception. Because I truly don't think, personally, that the Red Sox necessarily needed a complete change in direction. Because when I looked at the future, when we looked at the future of the Red Sox, we were excited. The next year's Red Sox team, because of Heim, is exciting. And so to say that we need a complete general philosophy switch and the Red Sox need to go in a different direction, I don't necessarily feel is fair. And so then if you're going to be just kind of like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks because you want to do something big and you want to make a change because you've gotten, you know, shit for the past couple of years, that doesn't feel like a thought out, calculated, or at all intelligent way to move forward.
John Henry doesn't do a whole lot of thought out things when it comes to the Red Sox front office, to be fair.
I guess after a couple hours of thinking about it, it's like, I don't know if Heim, I think he did like fine. Like I do, to a point.
He did exactly what he was asked to do coming in. Get under the tax, try to get something for Mookie, and try to win while spending efficiently. That's what he he tried to win.
That's what I'm saying.
At the end of the day, it wasn't enough. Really. Yes. I mean, it's so, three left. Again, I get both sides of this. I get both sides.
That's what I'm saying. So I think it's like, I think to be super pissed that he's gone is probably a little dramatic, because it's like, I don't think he was like crystal clear.
I mean, your lovely GF just wrote, the fucking riot act.
Dramatic as a compliment, actually.
I he's fucked up a couple times, and it's,
but he's made some great calls as well. But
yeah,
it's,
like when he traded Kike, he fucked up.
Paying Kike, some would call the fuck up the first time, but the second time, I mean. It's just like, this is annoying, but I don't think you can make a real judgment call until you see who they hire.
That's obvious. Right? The full testament, because people are going to be quick to say, oh, it was a bad idea. Oh, it was a great idea. You should have been gone. Again, with the assets, the farmhands that has been acquired under the Bloom era, seeing what that results in will give the final testament of the Bloom era. Charrington left.
They shouldn't have fired him.
But, like, was he going to be able to make that jump?
This is cold. Like, this, I am completely ignoring the fact that he's like a living, breathing human being. But it's like, he did the dirty work, And it's like, okay, great. And now, I don't think you lose out pulling the plug now, I guess. It's like,
you
throw someone
out
in there who has paid, who... Well, again, I don't even know who's the fuck.
Dombrowski comes back. Deal and Dave comes back.
Bring him home.
Well, that's the thing, is what you're losing out on is the potential for further benefit from having Haim, of seeing what comes next year.
We don't know what the next step of Haim is, if there even is a next step. Would he be a guy who spends in the top five, top three, goes well over the threshold to ensure that this is a championship contending team? I don't know if that's
Haim
there.
The last 4 years is like his MO was: do not trade these good prospects for major league talent,
and it set the team up in a hopeful sort of sense.
I'm saying, but that was his. He had to be the fall guy as far as like don't. I mean, the CBO does not draft, like, there's teams behind
CBO, chief business officer,
or what is it?
Oh, chief baseball. I thought you were talking about the competitive balance tax. I thought so. You said CBO, but I guess also makes sense.
I was thinking community-based organization,
right?
Chief baseball. Yeah, CBO. I thought you were trying to say CBT. Never mind. Continue.
There's teams that put these drafts together, put these international signings together. So, like, ultimately, that's not. That, like, you're not screwed because you fired Haim as far as acquiring that talent to start out. It's the GM.
You're very
burpy
today.
Ultimately, is like the free agent signings and the trades. And frankly, I don't know. I don't think he did a great job at either of those. I don't know. Jury's out.
Yeah, I mean, I think a solid year from Yoshi. There's things to improve on, though.
Yeah. I mean, you look at... Yeah, I mean,
I think that what he was really good at was signing the people that people... And you said that. He caught the undervalued guys. But I think that is probably what I...
Some, not even all, but some of the shots he took worked.
Yeah. And I think when you have an ownership that is putting very strict limits on specific aspects of your job, that is the most valuable possible trait in a successful GM, is being able to catch those undervalued guys. It's like Moneyball, kind of. Saying that Haim did Moneyball.
But again, to borrow a quote again,
they won in Moneyball.
From Dan.
They didn't win the World Series.
They were making the playoffs in Moneyball.
They still haven't won the World Series under him.
Again, it's not. I'm not trying to make this the entire just rehash of what Brian and Dan brought up, but Dan brought up a great point. Ooh. Like the greatest, Dan Secator, our editor in chief over at Over the Monster, who also had an emergency Haim episode. You guys are bros. You go drinking every Tuesday.
Dear
golfing
friends,
on the weekends.
Father-in-law.
the best asset that the Red Sox have is their ability to spend. And finding that value, diamond in the rough kind of guy, of course that's great. It's half the battle, but of course that's great to have. At some point, the chips have to be pushed into the table, and I think Bloom is a guy who's a bit wary of that, for right, wrong, or indifferent. We're getting to the point now with the Red Sox where it's like, okay, farm system's very strong. You've got controllable assets. Casas, you don't have to pay for a while. If you want Durand in the fold for a while, you're not going to have to pay him for a while. Story's on a fair enough of a value if he ends up being healthy and he can step.
Well, fuck.
He has to rebound at 24 to be fair for that to work.
Kind of a dud so far.
That's one thing.
Characterization. Considered.
It's not. He fucking tore his elbow and sucked ass.
But and they knew the elbow was an issue. That's why he got him at that price. Now, if he ends up playing well, then it could be a value. That's my point. But you've got Devers locked up. You've got other guys like Bear, you don't have to pay for a while. Sale will be coming off the books. You're in a fine financial situation with a strong farm. What are you going to do with that? Because you also, those young guys who are controllable,
are
four pieces of the
prepared?
Team. Listen to everybody.
Well, I'm willing to concede that there's an argument for getting rid of Heim. What I am frustrated
just wrote a letter for the guy. I did not think you were going to say that.
Yeah, that's
but,
crazy.
I think that, like, in the grand scheme of things, there is an argument for trading Heim. I do not think
trading
there
Heim.
Is a... getting rid of Heim. I
mansplaining.
Do not think there is an argument for getting rid of Heim now. I think if you look at the Red Sox and where they are at and you take it up to a higher level, is Heim really the problem this season? Is that really what is...
This season, I actually think, is the biggest indictment on Heim. I think before
defense
this
was
year,
so dog shit. The defense that we rolled out in this rotation,
this
we rolled
year,
out
it was
dog
much
shit.
Easier to be like, okay, like, they've been rebuilding. And it's like, but you have your... I mean, the middle of your lineup... That's like a playoff. They're not like a World Series team anyway. But like Casas, Devers, Turner, that should like win you more.
Solid
games.
Enough.
Yeah, than it has. I mean, the pitching was so fucking bad this year.
Yeah.
And the defense is like staggeringly bad. I just don't. Yeah, I genuinely
think it was the worst defensive team I've seen in my lifetime for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No. I just, Fitz, like I said, more, hold on, I've got the quote right here. A wrong decision is better than, more is lost by indecision than wrong decision, Fitz.
There you go.
And I think that was the risk they were not willing to take this offseason, I guess. That's what it ultimately comes down to. I think it's like, they couldn't really... You're fucked if you're bad again next year.
A quick sidebar. I've learned a lot about the process of podcasting by being on today, and I've found that one of the core tenets of putting together a podcast is looking up tweets you saw earlier and Googling quotes so that you can
we don't Google
them
the quotes
smarter
most of the
than
time.
You are.
I think they just, you know, I actually looked at this a couple days ago. The Red Sox have not missed the playoffs 3 years in a row since the 90s.
God. No, there was one. We discussed this. There was one run. This is not...
I don't even think...
10-11-12. 10-11-12 was the
okay,
last
so there you go.
The
still bad.
But
still a long time.
Then they won a World Series the next year. So, I mean...
Yeah, right?
Bodes well for next year.
So... And even the 2010 team was legitimately decimated by injuries, and then 11, that was a good team until it wasn't. I think more than anything, ownership decided that he was not that guy to handle this very important offseason.
Yeah,
right?
because of his track record. I think we're on the same page with that. I think as much as people want to rush to the judgment, which I understand, I think the final verdict of the Bloom era will be dictated on, okay, what prospects worked, what prospects didn't work. Because the defenders will always point to that. Oh, he built up the farm. Okay, so what was done with that? Anyone come up and become
That's
a huge
true.
Difference
maker? What if
they
maker? Come up and they suck?
Were some of those guys packaged for, this workhorse ace for the next couple of years that this team desperately needs. What if they're duds? So so much is going to be done over this offseason and, you know, the trade deadline next year and a couple off seasons to come even, where we're going to feel the ramifications of what was done and what was not done by Chaim Bloom in the next couple of years. So I don't think his story is completely written, much to other people's, you know, I think people would disagree with that, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with that. This is my take on the situation.
Hence why he should not yet have been fired.
A lot of people are speculating that this was a, I say a lot, I saw it once or twice, so I don't want to say that this is
that
a huge thing.
That it's an anti-Semitic hate crime?
Well, I was going to say, I know your take on the matter.
No, that's actually the pretty common consensus.
I think, if you look it up there, it's trending. Yeah. But, some people thought it was a Chaim or Cora deal. Do you buy that? Because I don't.
I don't buy that at all, really, because I think it's not like, you know, they could fire both. What teams have done that before?
Yeah. If you really wanted to start over with, you know,
yeah,
fresh
that's
slate.
Not like a ridiculous
right?
idea.
Yeah. No. And then some people think, oh, well, Cora's going to pull a Brad Stevens and go upstairs and be the president of baseball ops. I don't buy that either. I don't think that's going to happen.
I really don't think Cora played a part in this at all, frankly.
No.
Maybe he... No, yeah, no. I don't think so.
I mean, I'm sure he was advised on it, but I don't know if his take was, you know, his opinion was being taken into account.
Yeah, Fitz, I mean, like I said two short days ago, I'm exhausted.
And you know
this
what?
An exhausting time to be a Red Sox.
But you know what? I actually, for this specific instance, Jake, I sort of disagree with you because we are finally over the major Chaim discourse, especially online.
No, we will be.
We are on the path to being.
We're on the last 18 here. We're on hole 18 of it. Yes. Basically, it's going to be over.
The last 18. The whole
soon
thing
enough.
You
get my point. The anti-Bloom people are going to stop saying, oh, the Bloominati this, the Bloominati there, blah, 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 blah. The people who are so...
Strikingly similar to the anti-Semitic rhetoric.
Me doing that or the other
people? Well, the people you are imitating, not you yourself.
I was going to say, whoa, whoa. And then the people who are so overly pro Chaim Bloom won't be coming onto this podcast in reading out the Declaration of Independence on this show.
Can we? But I want to go back to the idea of Cora Brad Stevens ingot.
Do you know what that means?
Going up, taking the role of
mansplaining. Oh, you know managers?
Follow the Celtics like
name 45 managers who have turned into GMs.
Talk about a trash organization.
Yeah.
Celtics in the gutter now that Grant Williams is gone. It's pretty devastating.
If he hit both, maybe he would have stayed.
My statement was like 4 pages longer for that one, but here's a scenario. Well, first of all, honestly, I think that it would be very interesting because the way he does the relationship building, like he flies to like Puerto Rico to talk to players, and I think that he would have an interesting take on it. But
you can't
more
do that
of the point,
if you're a GM, it has to be impersonal. That's like everyone says that.
No, I don't like that. I reject that. Then that would open up the position of manager for Gabe Kapler. And then you would rectify the anti-Semitism, bring a Jew back to the Red Sox.
I was going
to
say, speaking
bring
of...
Bring a sexy Jew back to the Red Sox organization.
Whoa!
And finally have someone who is a little politically active in the positive way in the organization. I think that's a perfect scenario. And
of course a good guy,
John,
as far as I can tell.
I think you should move forward in that direction. Thanks.
So back to what I was saying, like at some point this discourse is finally going to run, it's no pun intended, its course.
2040 or so?
Yeah, maybe
when
this Marcella is just...
When Meyer fucking retires.
Yeah, maybe this is just
when
the beginning,
the
yeah, right? Yeah. So, but I don't know, that's basically kind of all I have to say on the matter, Jake. Do you have anything, any final thoughts before we
just,
call it an episode?
I just hope... I'll tell you what, I met Chaim twice. Lovely man. I mean, just from a personal standpoint. And you'll hear that from anybody, even all the reporters.
Yeah, everyone has said, yeah, he's a good guy. Yep.
He, like, stays.
And he'll land on his feet, too. He'll land on his feet. He'll end up with some organization.
I tweeted this immediately after the firing. It's like, I think he is a good GM. I don't think he's cut out to be like one of those five or six major market GMs. If that, you know, and it's like, that's fine. There's 25 other teams.
I adore him.
I'm trying to think where he would be a perfect GM for, right, at this point in time.
Like Cincinnati or something.
No, there aren't Jews in Cincinnati.
There's plenty of Jews in Cincinnati.
The Mets. Well, he doesn't speak.
Well, yeah, but
he plays bloom ball. That's the whole.
If he couldn't do Boston, there's no way he could do Queens. No way.
Maybe
Kansas City.
Yeah. One of the organization's run like
Jews there.
I'm sure there is.
Maybe Pittsburgh.
Get rid of Charrington.
There.
Well, Charrington's there, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's out of character to not have a Jewish. Oh God, can you imagine how devastating it would be if the next GM wasn't Jewish? What would
Dave
do?
Dombrowski wasn't Jewish?
Yeah, but he didn't count. I mean, he's like,
I don't know. I don't.
The good news is after Judge's grand slam, Devers did just hit a home run. So it was a one run and we're still losing. But
well, Fitz, I don't know about you. I'm all for losing out at this point.
Lose out in funny fashion. That's what I say. Have fun with it. Go out, you little rascals.
The Sox have make your Looney Tunes errors. Hit on most of their first rounders the last few years.
Especially Teal, right?
Teal, Marcelo, fucking... Mikey Romero. Well, anyway, I'm a bit scattered brained tonight, but it's a big night for the Sox, big day, and I'm scared, frankly.
Nah, you can't kill me now. It's can't kill a man who's already been down.
But I'll tell you what, I'll be there opening day next year, Fitz. I mean, I'll keep drinking that garbage.
You know what? And if the next GM brings Bobby Dalbec back to Boston,
took 44 minutes to get there, but we finally did. So, all right, that's gonna do it. Emergency episode there for you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back for our regular episode Wednesday morning. Until then, that's Sophie. That's
Jake.
Want
to do the grid, Fitz?
Right. I don't even think
you want to crank it out. Want to do speed grid?
Right.
People love the grid. I'll do it right now. Let's do it. You want to do it?
For Jake, for Sophie, I'm Fitz. You've been you. Thanks for listening.
Let's do the grid, Fitz.
On lands down. Again, we'll talk to you next week. Until then, go Sox and obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
Sophie has to say it.
I know. He just ignored me.
Oh, okay.
Sophie, you have to say obey your mother.
Say obey your mother.
No, I'm not going
to
say that.
You have to. We can't end the show until you do.
You're never coming back if you don't say it.
That's probably best for my career.
Yeah, it is, actually. Just end the episode.
Obey your mother. Please let me come back.
enjoyed the great season, have fun, and knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, there you mother!